Speak a little bit about the upcoming solar eclipse. We'll spend a few minutes talking about some of the perspectives that are relevant in regard to the eclipse. So most famous is the Gemara in Sukkah, which is a little bit hard to understand, but just at face value, what the Gemara says is two points. Number one, it says that if there's a lunar eclipse, it's not a good sign for the Jews, and if there's a solar eclipse, it's not a good sign for the Goyim. The Gemara goes on to explain afterwards, despite that differentiation, the solar eclipse occurs when four particular averos, seemingly at the hands of the Jews, are committed. That's when the solar eclipse comes. So the obvious question is that Chazal had a very keen awareness of astronomical patterns and calculations. In fact, the Torah seems to indicate that that was the great admiration that the non-Jews had for the Jews was because they had the sophistication in astronomy going all the way back to Har Sinai, the Sod HaIbor, as it's referred to. So it probably did not escape them that the eclipses were also things that were very much predictable. So the Aruch Lener, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, the Rebbe of Rabbi Shamshon Fol Hirsch, he offers an explanation of the Gemara, which makes a lot of sense in context of other things we see throughout Shas. For example, we know from the Mishnah Bava Melikin that a woman who is not careful about Chal Anidah HaLakas Aner dies during childbirth. That's her punishment. Now, is it possible for someone to die during childbirth even if they're not guilty of those sins? Yeah, okay, Chas V'Shalom, it could happen. It's a range of things. But what that Mishnah teaches us is that there are certain moments that, because of their unique nature, are more prone to be times at which one can suffer from divine judgment more than others. There's a Rashi in Chumash on in Parshas Bereishis on Wednesday and Yom Ravi of Creation that says that Wednesday was the day which was more common. People had breathing issues and could possibly die of choking, of asphyxiation. So again, is Wednesday different than Thursday or Tuesday? Not necessarily, but apparently there are certain events that we can point to during which the Midas HaDin in certain respects is more sholate, as we say. It's more dominant. And if there were sins committed, so it doesn't mean that a sin is committed and then next week there's going to be a solar eclipse, but it means that when a solar eclipse occurs, it's a time that's more ripe for there to be retribution for those averos and the like. So that's a general mahalchah in terms of how to understand how to understand the Gemara. Okay, that's as far as the Aruch Lener is concerned. The Chafetz Chaim, there's a famous write-up by a student of Chafetz Chaim who was in Radin, going back, it must be about 100 plus years ago, 120 years ago, there was a solar eclipse. And the night before, the Chafetz Chaim gave Shmuzim Beis Medrash, and he told everybody it's a mitzvah to go out and watch it. And the description the next day is very, very vivid. People were out in the street already 6 a.m., even though that's usually when the streets were empty, and they all had these homemade contraptions, with which to look at the sky. You don't have to go to the library to pick up, your 3D glasses. They knew what to do. They knew how to do it. Chafetz Chaim said it's a mitzvah to go and watch it. And he couched it in the following terms. He says, we know from Pasuk in Koheles, says that it's better to go to a Beis Avol rather than to go to a Beis Mishnah. Better to go to a Shiva house than to go to a wedding. So the Chafetz Chaim said, you see that there is a similarity, though. Maybe it's more poignant to face death and mortality of people. Just discussing with my Talmidim today, the Gemara says that if a person feels that he's falling prey to the Yetzer Hara, first he should try to learn Torah. Then, if that doesn't work, he should say Kriyat Shema. If that doesn't work, Maskir Lo Yom HaMisa. He should think about his death. My family lived for a short time in Ramot Bet. And we had a beautiful patio that overlooked Har Menuchos. It's on the other side of the valley, the entrance of Yerushalayim, looking south. And I just remember Shalashuddis time, watching the sunset go down over Har Menuchos. It was such a powerful, just riveting scene. Sobering, but at the same time, absolutely magnificent, beautiful. Only in Eretz Yisrael can you talk about a cemetery like that. It's not the same thing out in Long Island or in New Jersey. Anyway, Maskir Lo Yom HaMisa, it arouses a person's sensitivities and religious sensitivities. So Maskir Lo Yom HaMisa is a very powerful thing. So the Chafetz Chaim says you can be Maskir Yom HaMisa certainly at a Shiva house, but he says even at a Beis HaMishnah, even at a wedding, Maskir Lo Yom HaMisa, because of the parallel that the Pasuk gives. How is that so? So if you sit at a wedding, you reflect on the fact that, it wasn't so long ago that it was my friends and I, in our generation, we were celebrating chasanas. Now I go over to my friend, and it's his kid's wedding, and it's, I remember when you were born, I remember your bris, I remember your bar mitzvah. It's this recognition of dor holech v'dor ba. Things move on, and we're not here forever. So we realize that at a shiva house, unfortunately, but we also realize that at a simcha, when you see that time is going on. I think Yitzhak Zalman Rentzer once schlepped up many stairs, you know, in a walk-up building in Yerushalayim where he lived to attend the bar mitzvah. The kiddush was in the house of the bar mitzvah. And he said, I have to give hakaras hatov to the bar mitzvah because I remember when you were born. And when you were born, it wasn't so hard for me to walk up the steps to go to your bris. So, you know, it just puts things in perspective. So the Chafetz Chaim said, the same thing is true when you look at the sun during an eclipse. On one level, it's a reminder, or was a reminder to those who worship the sun, that the sun is just an object. It's not the subject with a capital S. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation. It's not all-powerful. And sometimes that eclipse helps keep that in perspective. But he says, even for people who don't worship the sun, what is the most ever-present, constant source of light and heat and photosynthesis and everything else that keeps our world running? It's the sun. And we need to remember, even that doesn't last forever. Even that has its weak points, and kal vachomer, human beings as well. Final point, which I think is magnificent. Rav Moshe Feinstein gave a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. I think it must have been in the late 20s. Moshe came here in the 30s. In the 1920s, he was running away from communist Russia. The communists were out to get him. He was a rabbi. He had a secret mikveh set up in Luban, the city where he lived, and he was a fugitive. You know, they were trying to catch him. So he describes this is the Shabbos Shuvah after he ran away from Luban, Lag BaOmer. He says it was Lag BaOmer we ran away. And he uses that whole Gemara and the whole notion of the sun and the moon and the respective eclipses as a metaphor, as a drush. He says as follows. He says, you know, the sun represents, we look at the other people in our surroundings, in our community, they have it great, they have everything they need, they have mishpacha, they have a good job, and they have nachas, v'chulei, you know. And we know that behind closed doors, people who look all good and everything's going for them, on the outside, it's not always the case. You know, the celebrities, they have everything, fame and fortune, but really they're the most bitter and unhappy people. And then you have people who, they don't strike it rich, but at the same time, they're sameach b'chelko, and they appreciate the things that really matter in life, and they can see the goodness even in the darkness. The same thing is true. The sun and the moon. The sun is when everything is clear, everything visible, everything tangible that you encounter. Oh, it looks great, it looks bright, illuminated, and wonderful. The moon, listen to this. We should think about this every time we go out and you know, Kirish Levana, the moon represents someone who even in the darkness can see the light. That's an attitude of a Jew, that even in the darkness we see the light. Of course, it's poignant, the fact that this eclipse is coming on Parshas HaChodesh, which is when we got the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, the dominance of the lunar calendar over the Egyptians who worshipped the sun. So it's more relevant and resonating this solar eclipse than, I don't know, in my lifetime. Usually it was in the summer. Last time it was in December. It was in, I remember once in the Eilat in one summer. And now it's mamish relevant more than ever before. Said the way a Jew looks at the world is to appreciate that there's so much goodness, even when things are dark, but to appreciate the light. And he said, when we were running away from Luban, we barely had the clothing on our back. We had no idea where we were going. We didn't know what we were going to eat, where we were going to make parnassah. But he said, you know what? We were happy just to be able to breathe. We're happy just to have our lives, despite all the darkness and danger that we were facing. And he says that Tzadik goes to sleep and wakes up like that every day. He says, you know, when Tzadik wakes up in the morning, he's appreciative that Modani Lefanecha, you gave me my neshama back. You gave me my neshama back. That even in the darkness that I was, excuse me, I was enveloped in the darkness overnight, but my neshama is back, and with a brand new day, that light that I see in the sun that's shining, it's the same light that the moon was reflecting. There was just a little more cloudy darkness surrounding it. And that's really our goal. The sun has to be covered during the eclipse to remind us that what you see and what's tangible and what appears on the surface, that's not always true happiness. It's the moon that we see even in the darkness that is our guiding light and guiding attitude towards the way a Jew who follows the lunar calendar lives his life.